You guys, if you would, turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at chapter 1 of this book. The title is Sharing a Common Life. I think as we get into this, it's going to get more and more in depth. But I think that the way he starts this, talking about community, we really need to think about the aspects of what the local church should be focused on. What are we here for? Are we here for entertainment? Are we here for just to make some business connections? I admit it, there was a time I went to church just solely to get a job, because I knew a guy worked there, worked in a grocery store, and I went there to get a job, and believe it or not, that's when I was saved. So I was looking for a job, and Christ found me. So just kind of shows you, you never know what's going on or why people come, but the true worshipers are there to worship. And that's what we've gathered together to do. So in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, Jerry Bridges is going to talk about this idea of what fellowship means. What does it mean in community? And this chapter is kind of working around koinonia, this word, this Greek word that's used. But folks, just to say this, to know, that word has a lot of different variations. It's translated different ways. And we're going to get into some of that tonight. But he begins that chapter by getting us thinking about what is community. You know, there's people that gather together for different reasons, you know. A community of believers is what we mainly are focusing on, but there's community around, you know, a farming community, he gives an example of. There's other communities that take place, but what is it, why are they there? Well, a farming community is about farming, right? So if we've got a community of believers, we're talking about we've come together because we are believing in Christ. That's the focus of the church. Focus of the church as Christ has given us that instruction from the book of Acts. You know, Nathan talked about that verse, and I don't want to overwork that verse, but Sunday as Nathan was looking at that verse in Acts chapter 2, it kind of gives you the basis, and he does go through some of that and bring that out. But I want you to notice how often we see community used in the name of a church. Have you ever thought about how many times churches are called community? This is so-and-so community church. This is, you know, community. Well, they really want to talk about fellowship. That's really what we're trying to address, is the true fellowship of a biblical church. Community is important in the church, but Jerry Bridges wants us to think about what is the biblical basis for church community. Are we doing it right? That's the big question. Are we doing it right? Is there more we could be doing? Is there more we should be doing? Are there things that we should not be focusing on? Well, as he begins there, he talks about koinonia, a word that's translated fellowship, but it's also translated other ways. And I want to tell you something. When you find a Greek word that's translated so many ways, you need to understand it's because the Greek, there's no true exact equivalent in English. So it's kind of like it means so much in Greek that our English language doesn't have a word that says, yeah, that's exactly what it means. So it's translated various ways. When you see a word translated like that, pay attention to the other ways it's translated, because it's bringing out meaning and it has to do with context. That's important. Bridges brings up Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and the text we begin with, and he says this: "This is the most basic meaning of koinonia, or fellowship. It is sharing a common life with other believers, a life that, as John says, we share with God the Father and God the Son in a relationship, not an activity." Now, let's think about that for just a minute. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we do have a little bit to cover here. But when you think about if your community is based on an activity, Its focus is when that activity takes place, that's what's important. So when you think of church, what is it that we should be doing? What should we be focusing on? If you remember Acts chapter 2, the apostles' doctrine. That was very important. The teaching that goes on, that should be the key of any church. I'm not against a basketball game or a church, you know, an eating event, but the idea is that if we're not bringing the Word of God and instructing each other and encouraging each other, we may be missing the whole intent of what church community should be. That first section he talks about, relationships. It's titled Relationships. If you view the community of the church as a gathering for social activities, you are missing the point of believers gathering all together. Truthfully, there are those who attend church as a consumer. Now, this is what I mean by this, you guys. A consumer is somebody who is coming just for what they can get. Biblical relationship is what you can give. It's not about what you can get, but about what you can get. So we have churches, we have folks that come, and they're here only to take, not to give. That's real important to pay attention to. And I know that a lot of visitors come in, and they don't stay and are not a part, but do pay attention to what people do to give back in relationships. You know, I don't know. It's like I used to think, you can pretty much make people give. Back in the day when they would pass the plate and the guy would stand in front of you and you know, well, I'll put a dollar in there, you know. Like, that's a real big deal. That's not the kind of giving I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who give themselves to other people in the context that they are wanting to build and strengthen their relationships. That's what we're looking for, is people who are wanting to give of themselves, not just their money, but themselves in relationships to bond, to grow, to learn. That's what we're here to do. And it's about progressing the Word of God as a group of people. Bridges tells us it is relationship-driven fellowship. You know, I've tried to think, what other kind of relationships would you have? Well, you know, if you like car racing, you can have car racing fellowship. If you like football, you can have football-related relationships. You can have that kind of relationship. But when you have a fellowship that's based on relationship, that makes it stand out. There's something about the connections that are being made with the people outside of their hobbies. So people can come together from different backgrounds and they can enjoy Christ together. That's the purpose of true community and sharing a common life together. He quotes William Hendrickson, who says, "Koinonia is basically community relationship." He focuses on that. He says, "It is not the fact that we are united in common goals or purposes that makes us a community. Rather, it is the fact that we share a common life in Christ." We can all be very different people. We can have different likes and dislikes. But see, we all love Christ. And that should be the common denominator. That should be the unifying factor of our relationships. We might disagree on politics. We might disagree on football. We might disagree on a lot of things, but when it comes to Christ, we're in unity. We're our relationship. If that is not important in that relationship, then what power or what influence does it have on anybody? That relationship does nothing. Whatever they're meeting, whatever that relationship is built on, if that disappears, the relationship disappears. That can't happen with believers. That relationship should never disappear with believers. We've come together because of Christ. We stay together because of Christ. and we're here to serve each other. How often, when you think about the Word of God, how often do you see things where, you know, it talks about loving each other and bearing one another's burdens and, you know, loving each other and bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, or if you love one another, men will know you're my disciples. All these things is talking about how that relationship is seen out in the world. So it's important to see that it is the fact that we share a common life in Christ. That is our bond. That is the unifying factor. That next section, biblical community is also partnership. Now he gives examples of the Greek word being used in a way that illustrates partnership up with someone. When you partner up and gather together. He says, whereas relationship describes believers as a community, partnership describes them as a community in action. That means we're together doing something. Partnership is an important part, but understand, koinonia is translated partnership at times in Scripture. So we can see the biblical community is first relational and also partnership, but with the purpose of edifying the individuals, the individual members, which in turn edifies the relationship and increases the partnership. So this continual growth, this continual impact, it's not something that we just have this one day, this one moment, and then it stops. It's like an interaction in life that should also be outside these walls. The third aspect Bridges brings up is sharing what we know to edify others. It's kind of the studying together. It's talking about things. It's beating out doctrines. And, you know, what has God taught me this year? What has God taught me this week? What has God taught me this month? What have I learned? Let me run this by you. Reading Scripture over there and this came up. What do you think about this? Bridges quotes J.I. Packer. It is first a sharing with our fellowship, fellow believers, the things that God has made known to us about Himself in hope that we may thus help them to know Him better and so enrich their fellowship with Him. So do we think that God teaches us just for us? It's not, you guys. God always teaches us to share. He wants us to share what we learn. Do you ever think about the fact that a pastor, the qualifications of an elder, for example, in Timothy and Titus, it talks about that they need to be able to teach. Teaching is an important part. They learn, they grow, they share. Well, this happens on all levels in the church as well. It happens in the homes. On page 9, it says this, according to Acts 2, verse 5, the first believers who were gathered into the church on the day of Pentecost came from every nation under heaven. Remember, they didn't even speak the same languages, right? Prior to their conversion, he says they would have related to one another like billiard balls, constantly colliding and bouncing off one another. But immediately after coming into community relationship of the body of Christ, they begin to experience koinonia and to value its effect in their lives. That changed them. When he talks about a billiard ball, he's talking like a pool table. And if you take a pool ball and you just roll it across it, what happens? It knocks all the other ones about. They bump in and collide. Well, that's exactly what they would have been without Christ. Like I said, they didn't even understand each other's languages. When Peter began to preach to them, God did something so that every man understood him in their own language. But that was great. But their community is really what was important. Their true community. When their lives were brought into it, as he says, they begin to experience koinonia, this real fellowship, and to value its effects in their lives. as they listened and learned to the apostles' teaching, it brought change. It brought a change to their thinking. Folks, when before Christ comes into you, I want to tell you, you may have thought you were a very giving person, but you're not. You are a very selfish person. All people are selfish outside of Christ. I want what I want. I need what I need. I'm sorry if I have to step on you or hurt your feelings to get what I need, but I want what I want. When Christ comes in, it changes you, and he says to put on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is that we don't take advantage of who we are. We start looking at other people and their needs. We look at our own selves differently and thus be able to look at other people's needs. The apostles' teaching brought them new understanding. New understanding about themselves. They enjoyed the time spent with each other, learning together. Could you imagine some of the conversations and questions of these new believers? I mean, they understood a little bit of the Jewish doctrine, the Jewish teaching. That's what they were gathered on the day of Pentecost about. That was a Jewish holiday that they had gathered from all over the place to come to that. And then as they heard the word of God proclaimed to them and their hearts were changed, this newness came over them. I could only imagine what kind of conversations went on. They were learning and sharing what they were learning. On page 11, I hope your pages are consistent with mine. How far back am I? Okay. All right. I may have to get a book and get my page numbers out of the book because I use the Kindle version. All right. If we are whatever page, it's a quote out of there. If we are to regain the New Testament concept of fellowship within the community, we must learn to get beyond the temporal issues of the day and begin to share with each other on a level that will enhance our spiritual relationship with one another and with God. Now think about what he's saying. If we are to regain the New Testament concept of fellowship within the community, we must learn to get beyond the temporal issues of the day. You guys, basically what he's talking about is this idea that we can sit around and talk about just about anything. How often do we actually talk about what we've learned from God's Word? Things that we have learned or read from the week before. It's something to think about, but it's really more about true community if you're really looking at why am I here to be an encouragement and a blessing to others, to edify others. And that's why we've come together. So, there's a section called sharing of material possessions towards the end of this. Now, too many, this concept of sharing with missionaries seems to be a given thing. People understand, well, that's all that's talking about is sharing with, you know, the local church body. It's given to missionaries, and those are foreign people, and they need our help and so forth. But what about helping another local church establish? They're already an established church. Now, how are you going to help them in their struggling? You know, it's kind of like what we helped Creston with their sign. This church down here sent a bunch of money to help them get a sign for their church, a nice sign. There's things that we do that in that community, in that on that level, I should say. So we're given to missionaries as a church, and we're given to other churches as they have need. We can send funds, or we can send labor in a storm-damaged church. Could be far away, may not be so far away, but it's the idea of helping in those situations. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 through 26 says, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Now we're thinking about, yeah, we would feel that way for Creston up in Arkansas. That would be great. But locally, in the same body, That would be even more true. When life presents its struggles, you guys, that's why we need each other. True community would bear this out. We would see this in a group of people who are actually seeking to serve God and not themselves. They're here for each other. You know, even lost people give to charities. That wouldn't be a big thing if we did that. I mean, I hear Bill Gates is throwing money left and right, giving it to people. He's got things in Africa where he's drilling wells for people who are thirsty. That's Bill Gates. I don't know whether he's saved or lost. I don't mean that. But it's the idea that, you know, a lot of people give to charities. A lot of people have, you know, Catholic Charities has all kind of feeding groups to feed people. But is it more than that? Bridges wants us to think about church community like we think about a parent providing for their children. That's what he uses to illustrate it. He said, you know, it's not a big deal that a parent would help provide some need for their child, for their children. And what if we felt that way about each other? That if somebody needed a place to stay, we'd invite them to our house. Y'all come stay with us. We'll figure out how to make it work. You need transportation? Let's see what we can do. You lost your job? Let's see how we can help as a church to supply some finances for you until things get better. I mean, that's really what we're supposed to do when we're talking about possessions. And folks, I believe that here at New Testament, we probably haven't done it perfect, but we have done it. We have done it. You guys, church consumerism is a real thing to consider in this area as well. There's people that come in and say, I'm here to get what I want. You guys, the guy that came up in the truck and was saying that he needed gas, I can't remember his story. It was a story. I had Kevin go out and take a picture of his tag. It was a Jackson County tag. I didn't look at the picture he had sent me until after the guy had left. But we sat back there in the office. Jake and I talked to him, and he wanted money. He wanted money, said he needed gas to get, you know, he was from somewhere way away, but he had a Jackson County tag. I knew he was lying. And I confronted him. I told him, I said, I believe you're lying. We gave him some chicken. We had Piggly Wiggly chicken back there. We sent him with some chicken, and I gave him a little bit of cash out of my pocket. I wasn't going to ask the church to give him no money. I gave him a little bit of money out of my pocket because he probably ripping somebody off, and I didn't want to rip off the church. I'd feel guilty, especially if I found out afterwards that he was, you know, just using us. But that's consumerism. And people want to come and consume what the church has. They want to take what the church has. Now, that's on a material level, but folks, that can happen spiritually too. I just want to come and get. I don't want to have a relationship with y'all. I just want to come and enjoy the preaching and the singing and the worship, but I don't want to be a part. That happens as well. That happens as well. Needy people are asking for help, but they don't want to give of themselves. That can be true with physical and spiritual needs. We share because of true relationship. We help each other. That's how that comes out. We give because we understand we are not owners of what God has blessed us with, but stewards of His blessings. What is it that we have that we have not received from somebody else? All that you and I have as believers is from God. That's all we've got. But He says we don't own it. He says we're stewards of it. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people have a hard time looking at. In church community, we ought to see that more often in each other. And I know nobody wants to ask for help sometimes. That's sad, but if you need help, you need to ask for help. So, the New Testament expresses it a little differently, but related dimensions of fellowship, he gives us four things here, okay, in the New Testament to express four different related dimensions of fellowship. I should have read that. Community relationship, partnership, communion, and sharing of material possessions. This is really what we're looking at, is what church community is. And we're just getting started, you guys. But that's chapter one. So it gives us something to think about as a basis to go forward at this point. Is there any questions? Any comments about something that you read in the book that you would like to bring up?